Yeah. Nice. Welcome to A Course in Miracles. So, like I've said in the many other ways, I've kind of pointed out that you and me are really addicted to this ego thing. And apparently it's not really casual. It's not something that is going away on its own. Apparently it's such an addiction that we are so involved, body, time, space. We're so involved in those being true, these concepts. So you got to understand, when A Course in Miracles talks about separation, it's the result of a complete devotion. Your existence, your identity is devoted now and comfortable. Dare I say, safe in your mind, because you have your space and I have mine. And they don't mix so close that you get to keep your money and I keep mine. You have a place to stay with a bed. Nobody's in it right now. And you get to go home to it. And I got my little space that I call comfortable, and then I'm going to retreat to that. I'm so addicted to that. My space. Time. Another one. Of Course in Miracles in Chapter 1 says, you know, space and time are really the same discussion. And he figures, but that's not really what we're here to talk about. That's going to blow your mind. You got a little work to do ahead of understanding that. But he does drop that bomb in the beginning. We're devoted so much to these concepts. These very, very, very simple concepts. Simple, I say. Obvious, maybe, is a better word. Because the more you look at them, when I say the word identity, the less simple it gets. Space, time, your body. After all, it's your body, right? I mean, that's how you know whether or not you're comfortable, is you check with the thing loaded with the ability to tell you if you're comfortable. Are you tired? Are you hungry? Are you comfortable? Does it hurt? This is the addiction I'm just pointing out for a moment. And the more you identify, key word now, more you identify being what you think you are. The more you identify with that body, which is held together by time and space and separateness. The more you identify with that, the Course in Miracles says, the more asleep you are. A Course in Miracles says, in this section, chapter 19, same topic, the more sick you are. See, Jesus, to this author, this piece of your mind called Jesus, he says, oh, this is sickness, see? You pick sickness of the sickness and call that sickness. And there's layers of, it's only when the hip hurts, or only when you're sneezing, or only when the temperature's up. That's what you call sick, this book says. But you know what? You're just treating, you're just calling out sickness on a sickness. From the author's perspective, and as we move up the staircase from physical to spiritual, the type of sickness doesn't matter. The type of separation doesn't matter. The flavor doesn't matter. What we're talking about is how drunk you are on separation. Are you male or female? I think you know this one cold. It's just part of an identity with separation, under which spell You are so captured. We're here to undo that. That's what A Course in Miracles is for. To help you catch yourself on your deep addiction to you. You're not that small. The you that you think you are, you're not that small. You don't even fit in a body. But you really, really are stuck on the idea that you do. And so, one of the opposites, one way to turn that on its upside down, to go the opposite way of separation, is this idea of union. Let's think for a couple of minutes, okay? Let's spend a couple of minutes thinking on this word, union, and what it means on your spiritual path. What it means in opposition to how drunk you freaking are on separation. Okay. What's the cost of joining up, of union? Is there a cost? Is there a cost to...
Me?
Yeah. That's the cost. Maybe.
Yeah. When I think of union, I have a big problem of thinking of union with the absence of me. Yeah.
Anybody else have this thought?
Like, oh yeah, I want to be part of union, but I still want to be me.
Yeah, how could you even know you joined with union if it wasn't you joining? Wait a minute, I can't get lost in the crowd. Then I why even go? Why even go join if I can't know that I'm there? I'm staying out of here.
Yeah, fuck you. Fair enough. That's fair enough.
I think it's honest. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's very innocent and honest. You've worked very hard to get this perspective. In fact, you're pretty damn good at it. You know, isn't he? The John Ball perspective is pretty well developed. Got something to offer?
Establishing your uniqueness.
You've got your uniqueness. This is your gift.
Your
they should be joining you. If it's so, then you guys come join me. I'm where it's at. That's pretty honest. I think it's really honest.
Yeah.
Of Course in Miracles, I love about this spiritual program is that there's no attack on self. When he said me, I said, what's the cost of union? He says, me. I said, well, maybe, because I'm not sure what he means by me. Do you see, there are extensions of God. There are. When they understand from a spiritual perspective that they are extensions of the whole, we call them Christed.
Christ, what?
That's what Christ means. Christed. So there's a man, Jesus, and he walked around in a separate body, and he was like, you know, making cabinets and crosses and whatever else he could put his hammer on. And then he got this idea that, wait a minute, what's really going on here? I think his mind awoken to the Holy Spirit instead of divided spirit, which we all, you know, the ego is. He got this holy, inclusive spirit. And he says, this is, of course, I and my Father and everything are one. This happened. So that inclusiveness happened. A union occurred there. But the Jesus aspect became Christed for its identity, not for its loss. He didn't wake up to his Christ nature by dying, by losing. This is a critical difference. You don't earn your way back to heaven oneness. But the me that is the drunkenness on separation, that does die. That you lose. That's a cost. The me that requires different, disconnected from anything else. That's a real cost. There is love in your creations. There is love in your thoughts. Course in Miracles says, well, those are all kept for you. Any loving thoughts you've had. The me, small m, that separates, divides, and actually is not connected to the nature of truth, beauty, goodness, God. What's not connected, what's to timelessness, what's not connected to infinity. You know what I mean? What's not connected to infinity. Anything that dies is not connected to infinity. What? It was made in coarse parlance. Yes. That's why we talk so much about body identification and versus a mind or spirit identification. The Course really, and as you go on the levels, as you go up the levels of A Course in Miracles, it will start to have you catch yourself on what you really are. It doesn't say who you are. A Course in Miracles does not say who. Your ego says who. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you're either male or female. At least you were born with certain parts. That on the birth certificate, they chose what to call you. The separate, see what I mean? That's sort of in the world. The division is so concrete here. When we move our way up to a spiritual identity, these differences are all the same. Male, female, tall, short, language you speak, how much money you have, vegetarian, not vegetarian, fat, thin, lucky, unlucky. But we're very, very drunk on those identities until then. Time, space, body, and all the flavors of it.
Yeah, it's like the body just sits there, and once you got that attachment to the body, it's, I feel that all the time from day one when I finally looked at it. But if I can see that we're part, it's like we're part of a circle, we're part of a puzzle. Mm-hmm. Who I really am is that part that has to be connected to everything. Yeah. I get that part. But that, because I'm still in the body, I also feel that thing tugging at it.
Do you remember we did a dependency one night? We did, what are you, it was connected, I think, connection.
Yeah.
What are you connected to, whether you like it or not? That was one of our meditations. And it's on the vector of union. From A Course in Miracles perspective, I asked you, what do you have to do? What does A Course in Miracles say you do? What do you do in order to find happiness? We'll get to that in a minute. Think for a moment, catch yourself, what are you connected to without your choice?
Can you like a feeling or what?
You can say feeling.
Your state of being or...
You can start the staircase up and say, well, I'm connected to breathing. Mm-hmm. And then you can say, I'm connected to my family. I'm connected to, you know, Santa Cruz. I'm connected to... my sense of spirituality, I'm connected to my sense of identity, I'm connected to, eventually, I'm connected to what? What else? What are you connected to a connection to my sexuality. Maybe I'm male or I'm female. I'm kind of connected. I know which clothes to buy and what department to go into. It's simple, but I'll tell you, it's a priori. It's already happening, see? You're already fully identified. So many things are already going on in your life. It can help to serve as an analogy to your dependencies. In other words, where you would go to be most comfortable. Where would you go to be most comfortable?
In your room.
You go to your room where you know everything is.
Yeah.
Right?
On your spot on your bed or your chair, whatever you got.
Certain chair, certain bed, you know, right where your clothes are and your shoes and your toothbrush. Yeah. And you got your power bars over there in case you get hungry. And you got your, you know what? It's good at home.
Got my little dresser with my goodies in it.
The goodies, right where you know where to find them. It's like, that's...
It's all nice and organized.
It's nice and organized. It's good. It's really handy.
Yeah.
Comfortable. So you go there. Yeah. What are you connected to? And that's really good in the material world. You're very, very connected to these things. And then the more we explored it, the more we came up with, well, you're kind of connected to everything.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. What if we switch to a spiritual identity? Let me remind you what spiritual is. It's invisible. It's invisible. So, material, if you're going to choose union, thank you, David, it's very comfortable to go home. To go to your space, your place, your family, your car, your dog, your loved ones, it's like, ah. Very nice, familiar. Identify with my home. Course in Miracles says that there is this coin now that's come into existence by your creative power. Two sides, if you've made two sides. One side's physical, body, time, space, and everything that comes with it. The other side's spiritual, which for now, I'm just going to tell you is invisible. But does it exist? Does the spiritual exist?
Yes.
How do you know?
Because you feel it.
Because you feel it. There's a spirit. What other word could you come up with to describe the non-physical? Describe what goes beyond. Key word. I love that word. Beyond.
Essence.
Not fully represented by what's in the mirror. The isness that's beyond what you can touch or hear. There's something else.
Can I work on both of those? I mean, since I'm using the physical being to get around,
mm-hmm.
I would like to kind of live past 70, so mm-hmm. I don't want to go around drinking. Pancake batter, so I want to keep that healthy, and then I want to keep working on my essence as well. Why can't I have both? Or why can't I, if I know each part are different, one is just, it's mobile,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one is everywhere.
So yes.
Why is that bad?
It's just completely opposite. It's not bad. And it doesn't
hurt.
Oh,
it is opposite.
It doesn't hurt a bit. No harm done.
Okay.
70 years, 700 years, 10 lifetimes. Of course, Miracles does not care. Okay. Do as much as you want. What it cares about is that it knows, the book knows in its teaching, that the frustration that we often feel in pursuing the material 70 years, there's an answer to that. The material is not bad, but it doesn't contain love. It's got a substitute for love. It doesn't contain true joy. You cannot create during your 70 years here? What? I got paintings, I got poems, I got right? Course in Miracles says, guess what?
Says what?
Guess what? That's all making. There's no creation going on inside a dream of particulars with all the rules of the world. It's back to material being visible and spiritual being essence. Spiritual being invisible.
But doesn't this say, not contradicting
you? Sure, bring it.
Doesn't this say that if you have the essence of the Spirit, that is the only way you can create?
You can only create when you return your mind to Spirit.
Okay,
you go,
we're fine.
You go home.
Okay, we're fine.
Yeah. And you've sort of created, created a dream. But just like in Hollywood, they quote, create, they really make movies, don't they? You make a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes a real movie. But movies aren't real. They're not true. That's what's happened here with this entire life. Do it as many times as you like. Course says, no problem. Just wants you to wake up. It's inviting you to wake up to where love is, to what's your heart's been aching for and trying to find within the material limits it will never find. This is the clearest place I found that elucidated. My heart is woken up. My true heart and my true identity has woken up. And there's light in my dream now. A light that goes beyond the understanding of the world. And it's allowed me now, and you could stay and play with the 70 years with a smile on my face. Why? Because it directly reduces fear, loss. How? Because my separate selves is no longer my identity. Now I can play as long as I want.
Mm.
It's way better. But something has happened with me, something's happened with this book, in order to drop the fear out. And it's the idea of unifying.
Mm-hmm.
The dedication to being a perfect separate little Andrew. This did not bring a sense of peace. It was disunion that I was pursuing. Separation. What do you lose? You weren't here when you got John Paul. John Paul's great answer. What, Julie? What do you lose when you were you to unify? Were you to get rid of separation and unify?
Lose everything that you now believe.
Yeah. That's the cost. That's the cost. Question is, do you lose you? Does somehow you die in order for you to jump on the bus? They say, well, you're welcome to take the bus to heaven, but you're going to have to kill you. Why get on the bus? If you lose you, why would you ever go to heaven?
It's not the real you.
It's not the real you. Course in Miracles says you're not a body. And I'm telling you, as we spent this last little meditation figuring out, well, we're pretty addicted to being a body. In this section that we're reading in chapter 19, it's a pretty tough climb the first time through, for sure. And that's why the section we're reading is loaded with the word faith, as opposed to faithlessness. This is why that word is in there. Because we're switching from what is obvious and proven every minute of your life, your separation, your body, time, and space, is proven to you constantly to this other thing that we'd like to... It says if you want to find joy, if you want to find happiness, if you want to actually be loving and find love, you have to remove the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. Mm-hmm. He says you're so drunk on being a body, a good body, you've lost sight of love. You've lost sight of what you gain from sharing. Taking your your spark, your spark that is really you, the essence, the real essence of you, what it can do, other than what a body does, that's become a question mark. And the body's got all sorts of answers. We've got lots of things we can do with the body, very specific. But we've got relatively fewer things we can do with your essence. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's look into a little bit of this, okay? Turn to page 400. Like I said last week, I don't know how we get through any of these paragraphs because there's so much in some of these. Good Lord. We just have to push through. You know, we'll come back in a couple of years and do it again. Look at paragraph 10. You there, David?
Faith is the opposite of fear, as much a part of love as fear is of attack. Faith is the acknowledgement of union. It is the gracious acknowledgement of everyone, of the Son, of your most loving Father, loved by Him like you, and therefore loved by you as yourself. It is His love that joins you and your brother, and for His love, you would keep no one separate from yours. Each one appears just as he is perceived in the holy instant, united in your purpose to be released from guilt. You see the Christ in him, and he is healed because you look on what makes faith forever justified in everyone.
Now, all the while, I want to keep John Paul's very honest comment in mind. I'm happy to talk about heaven and be with God and all that, but am I going to lose me to do it? This is a real soul search thing that you have to go through. It will be part of your enlightenment to understand what you really are. Which is why we talk so much. We walk right up to the edge of what you really are. And if there's fear there, you will be blocked from seeing what you really are. Because you are defaulting to the separate individual with which you are so familiar. And that's perfectly innocent. And the Course says, you know what, we're not going to push you. There's nobody... Holy Spirit does come up behind you, hand his shoulder blades, and say, go! Because it would... Why, Wendy? Because it bring more fear, which is the exact opposite of what the Course is teaching as a way. It says we're going to remove the fear. That's what the workbook does. It catches you at where fear comes from. That lets you catch yourself with where fear comes from. And you can face your day, whether it's cancer or divorce or a new job or having a baby or starting a relationship or starting a business or living to 70, catches how much you've been relying on one of the F words in A Course in Miracles.
Forgiveness.
Fear. The four-letter F word. You've been relying on fear to fear up your life, thinking that that's what keeps you safe, thinking that's a guide, see? Fear's been a good, handy guide way too much. It's been a trusted friend, even. So is guilt. If you can figure out who's guilty and what to be afraid of, won't you be okay? That's the world's way. It's really uncomfortable, I'm here to tell you. If I have to tell you, it would be a sad thing. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been living it for 52 years. Horse says you get sick and tired. There must be a better way. At some point, there must be a better way. Why it must be a better way? Because your heart's got light in it. The essence. That Sharon says, I'm going to live essence as well as this material thing. That spirit is a spark. Of course, calls it a spark. And then it calls the union, what you would join with, the great rays. And you're just a spark. But the rays are made up of, sparks. All right. Paragraph 10 on page 400, David just read for us. Let's dig in. Faith is the opposite of fear. Faith is as much a part of love as fear is a part of attack. He's getting you to move your heart toward trust.
Trust what? Everything, things are going to be fine.
Thank you. Good question. Trust what? Let's read it again. Faith is the opposite of fear, as much a part of love as fear is of attack. So in that one sentence, it's giving you the entire menu. Love or attack? Love or fear? Of course, says there's only two emotions. That's it. That's the whole menu. Love or fear? And if it's not love, it's any flavor of fear you would like to choose. That's the whole menu. Love or fear? It says, of these emotions, only one of those is true. Only one you can keep. And the other one constantly changes and shifts. And as you satisfy it, it shifts again. To be yet satisfied again. And if you get real honest, you probably have to get real old too. The older you get, the more honest you can be with what quality of love can be found in a body among time and space. Old souls know this. A sentence one, I'll tell you, it's an entire teaching. Faith is the opposite of fear. Okay, let's just stick with that. It's kind of obvious, right? What's another word for faith? We use it a lot, Wendy. Anybody? We talk
trust.
About trust. Yes, exactly. Actually, really, kind of. And then fear. The idea of fear is if you're so devoted to not trust, not safe. Not safe. Get away. In other words, you're going to lose. There's attack involved, and or a punishment involved, or at least a pain involved, and a suffering involved. In other words, I'm not afraid of it. If it doesn't cost me anything, I'm not afraid of it. These are things that guide our life, okay? It's kind of like fear is because you know it's going to hurt. You know. That's why you don't do it. That's why I'm afraid, because I know I don't like that. It doesn't taste bad, it hurts, or it's harmful. Faith, you actually don't know. It's a trust because you don't know. Fear is present because you do know.
Very clever. that you think you know.
You think you know.
And then you believe what you think.
So it turns out they're both trust, aren't they?
Wow.
The fear is often when you don't know, also. Because that's hide.
You don't know the details. And so you've decided that you're in danger for not knowing. And you're trusting the dangerous nature of not knowing. It turns out, if you really didn't know, you really didn't know, if you didn't have an opinion, if you didn't have something that you're relying on, you would move forward with complete openness. If you really didn't know. If you're really open-minded. I don't know where the sentence is in here, but it's a short little sentence. And it says, fear comes from what you think you know. From that certainty that it's dangerous, or I'm vulnerable. At the bottom of it, I'm vulnerable in this situation. You think you know that you're vulnerable. You're afraid.
It's the judgment of not knowing.
It's the judgment of not knowing. Yeah, very good, Wendy. Excellent.
So are you saying...
That's really good.
Are you saying if I'm neutral... Okay, so say if there's something there or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't care yes or no or either way, I will have no fear. Because I have no investment in it.
Okay, well, this is a great question. And...
No expectations.
It turns out... Don't miss this now. It's a short sentence. There are no neutral thoughts.
Oh, shit. Okay.
They don't exist. They don't exist. Okay, now this is a short sentence, okay? But if you ever want to know what's an example of truth, I've just spoken it. There are no neutral thoughts. That would be dug dead. That would be non-existent. But you exist. You exist in one of two states. You exist in love, or you exist in fear. There's no neutral. If there was, you could get lost in that forever. But oh, thank God there's no third choice. Oh my God, or 30 choices. It actually makes it really, really simple. Rick, do you know how simple this is?
I wish I did.
Love or fear? Do you know what fear feels like?
Closed. Uh-huh.
Have you felt fear before?
I felt it. Absolutely.
Okay. It doesn't matter which one of these you know. If I'm telling you, there's only two. And if you don't recognize what situation you're in love.
Oh, okay.
If you're feeling loose, you're feeling trusting, you're feeling cared for, you're feeling fully undefended, completely invulnerable, ready to share right to infinity. It doesn't sound like fear to me, or any aspect of it. The Course says that willingness to join, where another's interest is equal to yours. There's no fear there. It's kind of rare. But it's what Sharon's going for, because she wants to work this body thing for 70 years.
Well, more than 70, but yeah.
Okay, Rob. Okay, do I hear 80?
That's like
100, but...
Okay, 100?
That's just a benchmark.
Yeah, just a benchmark. We just...
It's just a vehicle. I just want the...
When she turns 68, we'll get another number.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God, there's only two possible flavors or experiences, and there's no neutral.
So neutral is just a flavor of fear.
Yes. Yes.
So it's binary.
Binary.
Okay.
And it's one of the lessons in the workbook. And you will find yourself faced with that in black and white all day. And it's like, is that possible? But you know what? Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Please.
I was in a training and they had us do this breathing exercise, and I've done a lot of breathing exercises, but they had us we'll put like one hand on the chest and one on the stomach, and they had us breathe shallow, like just into the chest, and actually don't let the abdomen rise, which is like if you're breathing like relaxed, both would rise, right? Mm. And they made us just do this chest breathing for a while, and it felt like totally suffocating. And I realized, like, I go through like so much of my day in stress, like breathing like that, breathing shallowly, like all day long, but I don't notice. Mm. And here she was making us just sit with that, and I was just like wanted to crawl out of my skin, and I'm like, when is she gonna let us breathe more deeply? And it was this real awakening related to what we're talking about now of like how much do we walk through our lives like controlled by fear, and like if we're actually pay attention to what that feels like, we will want to breathe differently, you know, I've been doing a lot of breathing exercises, and none had ever like hit me quite like that before.
Thank you. That's beautiful. Yeah. That's perfect for our discussion.
Mm.
If you could feel what it, if you knew what you were doing to yourself, and you could contrast it by taking a full breath, a belly breath instead of just an upper chest breath, you'd really want to do the belly thing more.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank you, Julie. Mm-hmm. And I said before, many people, I'm afraid, have never felt true peace. You know, they're recognized. They were chosen peace. It's really different to choose peace. And you've been peaceful in the middle of vacation, and like, oh, I got 5 more days. Oh, I feel great. Nothing to do. I lost my cell phone. I don't even care to find it. Yes! Ah.
It's a really profound thing. Many people have never chosen
peace. Many people do not know what it means to choose peace and then have that experience.
Yeah.
You know it's true.
I don't think most of us even realize there's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially.
It's fact. In fact, the logic of the world is wait to see how it turns out,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll know if you can afford peace.
Well, or if we manage certain circumstances.
Right.
If, you know, if we get a variety of things, whatever we think will, for instance, like I just noticed that there's at least theoretically a bigger opening for me if I already feel safe. So that would be a circumstance in which something else could happen.
Yeah.
But it's like adding up, you know, feeling safe, feeling secure, not having, you know.
Yeah.
All the stuff you want to handle,
yes.
which I spent decades trying to handle to get somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Seek and do not find is the credo of the ego, just the way it turns out. And what we're talking about tonight is faith. And Sharon asked the most honest question, faith in what?
Do we even deserve it?
Do we even deserve it?
Mm-hmm.
You guilty SOB. Think of all your private thoughts.
I mean, we talk about deserving, but
yeah,
do we really believe that?
I mean, if you're lucky, it's not about that.
Yes.
You don't get to make that
right on
choice because you wouldn't pick it right.
Yeah,
right on.
Yeah, but you're sitting in it. Well, I can't speak for everyone, but I mean, if you're sitting in that, you're still sitting in it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know better,
uh-huh.
but you don't believe it.
Right. There's no trust in it.
No trust. Yeah.
That's why I'm very grateful that, you know, there's God or revelation,
yes.
or Christ or the book.
Yes.
Because if I were just left alone to sit in my own miserableness, I would never pull out of it. If it was just me sitting there going, I must deserve pain and uncomfortableness because that's what I have. I would never figure this one out. I'd be in the dark forever.
And the darkness gets darker because it's dark.
Uh-huh.
And it's got a gravity of its own, the darkness does, and separation does. being in the body gets has it, the more you identify with it, the more it identifies with you, the more you find yourself in the darkness, it just gets heavier and darker.
Yeah, but you know better. You know better.
But it depends where you will, according to this quote from the Course, you will trust in what you think will make you safe. And in darkness, in separation, we find some safety in our separate, individual, controllable self, me. Got it figured out. I've made it healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Can you trust?
Who can you really trust? If you want a job done, you gotta do it yourself. That's right. So it has a gravity of its own. Course in Miracles has an essential law, essential keyword for Sharon tonight, teaching us about the essence of things. Course in Miracles points to the essence of mind with a law. I'm going to speak a truth again. I said one truth already, which is there are no neutral thoughts. You will never find it a neutral thought. The minute you look at it, it's going to be love or it's going to be fear. It's going to be joining or separating. Here's another truth. Ready? Always happens. As you give, you receive. Exactly when you give the idea of darkness, you get the idea of darkness back. It's so fast, we can't even draw the circle. It's so fast, as you give, you receive. It's a law of mind. It's kind of simple, right? The more we look at it. Because you're generating the thought, so you're the first one to get it. You may point it at her or him, but you're getting it first.
Is that law of mind or law of essence, or are they the same?
Any Course students here?
Same. Yeah. Love as well.
Thank you.
So it's the same.
Yes.
As you give, so you receive.
Yes.
Okay. And to the exact extent that you...
And it's the law of love.
It's the law of love.
It's the law of mind. It's the law of essence.
Okay.
It's the law of spirit.
In the end, giving isn't... It's yes.
Simultaneous.
Use your words.
I was.
Use your words.
He needs to hear himself say this.
No.
He's got it.
He's got it. I've been thinking about it recently. It was something that, because we in our society we always talk about giving is, I'm giving, and this is egoistic, yeah, but it's still giving. So if I give myself something, I'm still giving just as much as I'm giving the outside, because there's no separation. So giving is giving, and taking is giving.
As you become aware of what you really are, as you experience the interests of what you're giving to as the same as yours, the giving is receiving. John Paul, I want you to have this on your trip. This is going to be really helpful as you go across the desert.
Oh.
Yeah, it'll really work. They're going to love you when you supply everything you need right when you need it. Because I want you to make it safely through the desert.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy he's going to use that.
You know what? This is too good for me.
So there is a... you know, another beautiful way to look at this, the giving and the essence of giving and receiving, being one. It's not the material. There's six pieces of pizza, and there's about a dozen of us here. There's going to be a problem with giving and dividing that up. Fairly sure. I mean, David here, it would take maybe two slices to even satisfy. And Wendy, maybe a half a slice is okay. It's not the material, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Course in Miracles never talks about form. its instructions, its truths, your awakenings will not be... when it says vision, it's not with your eyes. It's not form. So the giving and receiving being one, I found perhaps the best way to feel this is with the idea of gratitude. The poor man's I love you is thank you. Somebody helps you out, helps you maybe, you know, guide your car into the space so it doesn't scratch it up, you know, or gives you a shopping cart and you don't have to go get your own. You say, hey, thanks. You didn't have to do that, but you didn't. Thank you. I want to say thank you. I want to give you what I'm feeling. And by saying it, I actually feel it more. And then you look back at me and say, you're welcome. Sure, happy to do it. As I give thank you, I actually receive my thank you. Whether or not you acknowledge it, I'm already getting it. I had to say it because I'm so appreciative. The poor man's I love you. I get it as soon as I give it. Doesn't matter where it goes. This is actually the essence of mind and the law of love working. As you give, you receive.
And it's...
Yep.
It's also like... what I find helpful to understand it is like the things that you can give in truth only grow when given. Like, you know, peace, patience, love, gratitude, like all of those things, they only get bigger. You can never run out of them. Whereas like money or other things, I mean, you can still give those things, that's fine, but they're of the world. So it's like helps me to see like what's true and what's not true.
Nice. So when Sharon says,
giving enriches both of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's there's no limit to those things.
But maybe what John Paul, maybe what you're trying to say, John Paul, at least what I'm hearing through my own filters, is, you know, you can practice being kind and generous and loving and tolerant and forgiving with people. But would I do that with myself?
Mm-hmm. 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 That is what I was.
You know, exactly, would I do that with myself? At. Not to a tenth degree that I would with another human being. Mm-hmm. And the story is because I know me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it leads me to the path I've gone down over the last couple of minutes is, well, obviously my attachment to my identity is certainly one of the obstacles. But I also question, have I ever genuinely really given?
To you or to others?
To others. Mm-hmm. If in fact it's true,
yes,
that what you give you receive, mm-hmm, or is it just a function of the obstacle, the filter that I look through, mm-hmm, that I can genuinely give, but it's bouncing off of me when it's time to have that simultaneous experience of receiving?
That's correct. It's the obstacle in your mind. There is no physical action required of you to experience giving.
Wait, what? Can you say that again?
There is no physical action required of you to experience giving. It's the essence that contains the message and the experience. Not any countable, accountable, physical, measurable thing. Because there's room for judgment in that.
Yeah.
It's your own mind. And here's how we did this one night. I thought it was really great. Holy Spirit did this one. During the meditation, this phrase came up, and it was, what is it like to want to give? Mm-hmm. Not give anything in particular. Okay? Don't think of what you're going to give. What does it feel like to want to share? It feels great. She got it.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels great. Can you touch that idea? When you just want. You want to share. You want to give. You want to help. Hey, me. If you need help, call on me. That instant. That is light in the dream. That's light in the darkness. As dark as you get, when a moment like that happens, whatever that is, that worked. I wish I could do more.
And I'll have faith in it.
And now you will choose, you will at least desire, if nothing else, the little willingness could occur that there's a better way. Now, whether you're worth it, or you can spend time to follow that essence, this becomes, you know, where Buddhism, I think, is really helpful. Because Buddhism is a way of life. The middle way. Forget God. I just want to try to be even. I want to be unattached. Because there's a better way. It's great for that. This sentence says, check it out again. Faith is the opposite of fear. They're both utilizing trust. In other words, commitment. Both of them. Fear, you're committed, I'm vulnerable, I could be hurt. So I'm not jumping in, I'm not volunteering, my hand's not shooting up. Don't pick me. I'll go along if somebody else does it. Faith uses trust as well. But faith has a trust in love. Love meaning joining. Love meaning union. Fear means I will stay separate and safe. Fear means something out there is going to take from me, from my happy home. Love is the opposite of fear. Love says, how can I help? How can I help? What can I do? Mm-hmm. I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. I'm already with you. When you get there, I'll be there. Waiting for you. I got your back. I got you covered. If you need it, I got it. We're in this together. Oh, I feel more comfortable. Don't you? Not alone. You're not alone. You're sharing a union, an aspect of union is occurring when we're in this together. I'm not alone. It's way different than you're on your own. Good luck. I hope you brought enough because you don't get any of mine. I hope you have enough to make it.
Difference is night and day.
It's night and day. That's why, no matter how dark you get in this world, hopefully, it has to happen because truth is light. Okay, the spark absolutely occurs. This becomes a new dedication, a new hope is born, and a faith to follow it is born. And the great way to do it is you do it yourself. You discover that you're doing it yourself by choosing peace is a great way. This book will bring you face to face with your own decisions and say, get ready, because you're about to choose either love or fear. Which do you want? Lesson 34. I could choose peace instead of this all day long. 29 lessons leading you up to showing how free you really are. This is how it gets born with this. I think it's what makes this thing priceless, this book. It can get you face to face with your own power of your mind and allow you to experience the light that you seek. Look at lesson 284 real quick. Keep your finger here and flip to lesson 284, which is way up in the workbook. It's like
439.
Thank you. 439. Look at this crazy lesson. Okay. It says, I can elect to change all thoughts that hurt. He waits like 300 lessons to let you exercise in this. John Paul, would you read that for us? Lesson 284.
204?
That's 284 on page 439.
I can elect to change all thoughts that hurt. Loss is not lost when properly perceived. Pain is impossible. There is no grief within the cause at all. And suffering of any kind is nothing but a dream.
We're 284 lessons in. If you haven't done the workbook yet, are you even interested?
Yes.
Yeah.
Imagine you could get here with confidence, where he's just reminding you. Please continue. You can back up a sentence if you want.
And suffering of any kind is nothing but a dream. This is the truth. At first, to be but said, and then repeated many times. And next, to be accepted as but partly true, with many reservations. Then to be considered seriously more and more, and finally accepted as the truth. I can elect to change all thoughts that hurt. And I will go, and I would go beyond these words today and past all reservations and arrive at full acceptance of the truth in them.
Look, that's how it gets done. A little bit of trust, a little faith, and then some experience. You know what? I can do this.
Just like everything else in life.
Just like everything else. Because it's all done in mind. Just like everything else. That makes it simple, doesn't it? Suddenly it's getting simpler and simpler as we go along here. It's doable because it's using the same laws. The same thing that got you into this mess will get you out. Well, that's good to know. It's not at all new and different. Sure, go ahead, John Paul, you finish that.
Father, what you have given cannot hurt, so grief and pain must be impossible. Let me not fail to trust in you today, accepting but the joyous as your gifts, accepting but the joyous as true as the truth.
You see this huge contrast even in just one lesson. The work was full of them. The whole book is full of them. I can elect to change all thoughts that hurt. Father, what you give does not hurt. And yet I hurt. And yet that's why I'm here. It's because I hurt. I'm dedicated. Chapter 14, it says, you who are steadfastly devoted to misery, comma, must first realize that you're miserable.
Yeah.
It's part of your awakening. A spiritual awakening, essence awakening, same. Part of your spiritual awakening is recognizing your own mind's power. That indeed you're hurting, but you're hurting because of your specific choices that you love. It's not that you're a victim at all. I wouldn't do this to myself. And yet, the Course in Miracles will teach you there's nobody else that can do it to you either.
I want things my way, and if the only way, if all I get is a flavor of a kind of ice cream that I don't want, then I'll take that flavor of the kind of ice cream that I don't want.
Yeah.
Because my natural me is I want it my way.
Yes.
If the only way I can get it my way is it's going to be painful, I'm still going to take painful.
Yeah.
Because I usually want it my way. And that's why it's a real gift and a real miracle to have something be different. Mm-hmm. It says, I don't have to want it that way anymore. I never saw the chance before. I had to have a voice say, totally different. Go, hey, look, hello. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that's why that I can awaken to that same feeling with me of faith. But I can count on that no matter what, because that or God has never really been separate from it. Mm-hmm. As the book would say.
Faith in what? Big picture now. Sharon's got a really honest question. Trust in what? The first attribute of the teacher of God in the manual for teachers is trust. On which all the other attributes that Julie was going through, the beautiful, these are the things that grow as you give them away. Honesty. Tolerance. Patience. Gentleness. Kind of the more gentle you are, the more gentle it is. Joy is contagious. Laughter is contagious. Defenselessness. Well, you know, I came to really attack you, but you're not defending yourself at all, so I'm going to back off of my attack a little bit and just tell you what I really want you to know. Your defenselessness, your denial of defense at all, is turning out to becoming larger. You don't need to defend yourself. I'm not attacking anymore. Woo! It's working. It's getting bigger. Open-mindedness. The more you open your mind, the more your mind is open. The more you open your mind is open. By opening your mind is how your mind is more open. See? Faithfulness is self-fulfilling. The walk of trust is trusting. And so it says of all these 10 characteristics in the back of the book, they're all built on the foundation of trust. Trust in what? Sharon says. Please, somebody.
If the bigger me is looking for, bigger us, really, yeah, looking out for us.
Yes?
Your true self.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about it because someone's already, like, driving the train.
So got this far.
Yeah.
Don't worry, fine.
Your true self is love.
Thank you. Chapter 6 and chapter 4 and a lot of the book.
A lot of the book.
Love book.
Your true self is love. I think it's lesson 318, which is not too much further. Excellent. Page 459. Okay, 459. There's reading glasses over there if you need them. Okay. What's this lesson? Who's up? Julie?
Yeah. Not
quite there yet. Page 459 of the workbook.
Which one?
318.
318. In me, salvation's means and end are one. In me, God's Holy Son, are reconciled all parts of heaven's plan to save the world. What could conflict when all the parts have but one purpose and one aim? How could there be a single part that stands alone or one of more or less importance than the rest? I am the means by which God's Son is saved, because salvation's purpose is to find the sinlessness that God has placed in me. I was created as the thing I seek.
Please read that 3 more times.
Yeah, that one always gets me. I remember the last time we were here. I was created as the thing I seek. I was created as the thing I seek. I was created as the thing I seek.
And everybody together? I was created as the thing I seek. There it is, black and white, short sentence. You can derive an entire teaching or challenge or argument from that one sentence. But there it is in black and white. Please continue.
I am the goal the world is searching for. I am God's Son, His one eternal love. I am salvation's means and end as well. Let me today, my Father, take the role you offer me in your request that I accept atonement for myself. For thus does what is thereby reconciled in me become as surely reconciled to you.
So you see, what we must be talking about here must not be the body and what the body can fulfill. What you would be joining with here is the essence or the spirit or the Christ nature of your true self. It's very different from the separate, suffering, separate, sacrificing, hopeful, fearful, just wishing for a more comfortable life, ego. This is, you would have to switch identities. You'd have to unify with the source of one instead of competing with the source of many. It's a radical change. You would really need some kind of brainwashing to move from the dedication of the suffering, separate, competing, vulnerable, get ready, because everybody in this room will be dead within 15, 20,000 days. And that's if you live a long life. What? Your body will be anyway. We're all here because we're going to give up on this idea of being a body and start getting used to the essence. Starting to get used to the true identity. Not so that me dies, it's so that the me can come alive. Mm-hmm. It is dying in a body. It's dying trying to be a body. That me will die. But not the creative me. Not the one that loves. See, John Paul is a name that you've hung on a substitute for love. It doesn't even create. It's dreaming of separation. And it's been very successful. Sadly, it's been very successful. Time for that to end so that you can return to love and creativity and sharing and joining. Time to return to what it's like to hear the music instead of focusing on one note. How different is that? Mm. How different is that to hear the music played versus just one note over and over again? That's heaven versus separation, heaven versus hell. That's individual separate note versus the music. That's how different it is. Yes, the note dies. But it dies giving itself to the bigger picture, to the music. Mm-hmm. And the music is enjoyed. The note is not. It's used. Gladly. For what you really are. Way different than separate, suffering, individual note just playing itself over and over trying to perfect one. Ding, 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 ding. Instead of ding, 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 ding. All right. Okay, we got to stop this little tour. We could go on about, you know, we'll be back, Julie. You were created as this thing you seek. It's a huge, huge gift from this book. Please take that into meditation next time you sit. It's a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful, complete gift of God. It's a gift of God, not a gift from God. This is a gift of God. It's yet another truth we've spoken tonight. You were created. You were created as the thing you seek. Do you see the circle? Good. You can't miss. It's a truth. You can't miss, Meg, if you were created as the thing you seek. Your seeking is in earnest. And the answer is close at hand. all that passion, all those tears, all that love, all the hope, all the pent-up creativity, ready to share, that will be answered. And the answer is very close. According to that sentence, you were created as the thing you seek. And don't forget, now you're, what, 318 lessons in. So we've already hit 199 in 10 different ways. I am not a body. Don't be thinking the thing in the mirror is what you've been created to seek. All right, we got to go back and get back on our... This paragraph is too much to go pass by, so... Woo! Okay, so you've only hit the first sentence. I'll try to speed up a little bit. Okay, you got it? Sentence one, faith is the opposite of fear, as much a part of love as fear is of attack. Faith, you see, is the acknowledgement of union. So, Sharon says, faith in what? Faith in love. What's love? Union. What do you mean union? I mean the truth of union. The obviousness of union. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the things to which you are connected, whether or not you see it or know it. That to which you are connected by your very being exists. Duh. Duh. As that becomes obvious, your part in oneness, your, the note's key part in the song, in the music, is appreciated and loved. The song and the note, the song loves the note, not complete without it. The note loves the song. It's where it belongs. It's why it exists.
Beautiful.
It's its hope to be expressed, to complete. Like that. Okay? Then it's three. It's the gracious acknowledgement of everyone as a son of your most loving Father. Loved by him like you. It's just like the song and the note. You know, the song loves that note. And therefore loved by you as yourself. Loved by you as yourself. Loves that note for being the note now. So does me go away, John Paul? Do you disappear if you join the song? No, you make the song. You're made by the song now. Your purpose is fulfilled and fulfilling. Stay the individual note. Stay separate. Do not have faith in the song. And you remain a separate note. Not even aware that you're being played as part of a song. How blind. How separate and alone. Even though it's not true. Faith in what? That's what we're talking about. I guess we can stretch our luck a little bit. I just want to show you something. Go to page 605. Yes, paragraph 5. Who's up? 605 in the text.
605.
This is chapter 28. Fantastic. And just read for us paragraph 5.
5? But
yes.
Never you alone?
Yes. Yes.
But never you alone. This world is but the dream that you can be alone and think without affecting those apart from you.
Like that poor little note trying to be just playing itself over and over. All it's aware of is just its own little self. Just you.
Bless you.
Please continue.
To be alone must mean you are apart. And if you are, you cannot be sick.
You cannot be sick.
Sorry.
Course in Miracles says that your idea of separation is sickness. Proven. Sick from... What do you mean sick? How sick? Sick not part of the song.
Not well.
Not unified. Not whole, not well, not purpose, not fulfilled, no place to call home. Sick. That way. In falsity, in lies, not in truth. That's what I mean by sick. Not functioning as designed. That's what I mean by sick. Another word is alone. Dave, you want to close those windows? Please continue.
This seems to prove that you must be apart, yet all it means is that you tried to keep a promise to be true to faithlessness. Yet faithlessness is sickness.
And Sharon says, trust in what? And if you don't trust in union, if you don't trust in love, you don't trust in the essence or nature, I'm going to use a big word now, okay? It's only got a few letters in it, but it's a shortcut. If you don't trust in the nature of God, then you must find something else to trust in. There are no neutral thoughts. So religion and spirituality has grown to give us something, some word, some, now it's a whole body of scripture and knowledge and who knows what else. But we can simplify it now. And we can just call it God. Not some dude. No. God is the nature of truth. God is the essence of what actually is. Good orderly direction is one. Somebody used to call it.
Huh.
That's enough. God. Not some dude, though, okay? Some separate thinker. No, you are the mind of God. You are the thinker. That has become a block to your awareness of what you really are. The idea that that's all you are is the thinker. It's become smaller and smaller. But we don't have time to discuss that. Let's continue.
It is like the house set upon straw. It seems to be quite solid and substantial in itself, yet its stability cannot be judged apart from its foundation. If it rests on straw, there is no need to bar the door and lock the windows and make fast the bolts. The wind will topple it, and rain will come and carry it into oblivion.
And this is the experience of you, separate little individual, if all you're focusing on is just your little life. I'm worthless. Does it mean anything? Do I deserve it? You know, what difference do I make? Says the individual note that's part of this beautiful song. Mm-hmm. Oh, of course, says you have no clue how important you are. Mm-hmm. Apparently. Your note is what makes heaven's song. This is what says God is lonely without you. You know that? That's in this book. Yeah. That's what it means. Because you take a piece of God out and it's not God anymore. You take a note out of the song and it's something else. It's not the song anymore. Mm-hmm. That's how important you are. Is that a crazy paragraph? We can spend all night on that. Well, mm-hmm. We will. Mm-hmm.
That's really funny.
Okay, so back to page 400, please. Oh, I wish we had more time for this. Okay. It's God's love that joins you and your brother, and for his love, you know, the his and God, and these are just words, okay? And the more you get into Course in Miracles, the more you recognize they're just words. But they're pointing at experience of trusting something worth trusting. Your own essence. In fact, you know, it talks about God, sure enough. But then it says, you know what? God's will is actually in truth. You will come to know. God's will is your will. Your true will.
It's perfect happiness.
Mm-hmm. It's perfect happiness. Mm-hmm. Your will and God's will are one. turns out. Oh, well, that's good, because I thought maybe we were a little just out of step. Another awakening that has to occur. There's a little resistance there, because you think that you're not worthy and all that, but it comes. Whew. Okay. And for his love, in his love that joins you and your brother, and for his love, to get it, you know, you would keep no one separate from yours, your love. Each one appears just as he is perceived in the holy instant. How's that? United in your purpose to be released from guilt. Of Course in Miracles, guilt is another thing that you discover studying the book, what it really means. It's talking about, again, spirit or essence of guilt. Not guilt. Not how much did you... You shouldn't have done this. You didn't pay enough. You paid too much. You stole. You took. You were unkind. No. You broke the law. No. It's the essence of guilt the book is talking about. It's not behavior. This book is not about behavior.
So it's just the feeling of being wrong.
The feeling of being wrong, it's the thought that you could be wrong. It's the room for judgment. That's how essential we're getting. The room for the idea that judgment or attack forged with judgment could be useful. Well, it is in the body, time, and space. You bet it is. We got court systems and lawyers working all day long to make sure. So it must not be talking about body, time, and space. It must be talking about Miley Christ. Returning your awareness to Miley Christ. Having your Holy Spirit inform your identity instead of your unholy spirit informing your identity. It's a real... You know, in order to do that, considering that you're a mother and you've got your whole world working on right now and your location and your money and your time and you're right, eating the right things, and in order for you to switch out of that and somehow identify with your holy Christed identity, you would need a miracle. You aren't going to do it without it. I've spoken yet another truth tonight. I am on a roll. If life is contracted or difficult, you need a miracle. You're not going to get out of it otherwise. See, like Stefan was pointing beautifully, I thought, the darkness just gets bigger, and then you keep choosing it. It's time for a miracle. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you will naturally be follow your thoughts into the rabbit hole yet deeper. That's it's working. The laws of mind are working as you give, you receive. Darkness gets darkness. You need a miracle so you can switch from the dedication of darkness to just even a little light, please, in your own mind. Not in the world, not in performance, not something measurable. It can be, but that's not the essence of what we're talking about. The awakening or the introduction of light in the dream is definitely something that happens very, very personally in your mind, which is why meditation is such a great tool. Now you can open the window again, David. Thank you. This is where you find your freedom. Oh, thank God. Okay, so... Sentence 6. You see the Christ, now we're capital letters here, you see the Christ in him, in your brother, comma, and he's healed. Whoa, dude! Yes, remember? Because the sickness we're talking about is in your mind and it's devotion to separation. It's the respecting of the differences instead of seeing the sameness. Even while your body's eyes now see the differences, you know, they always say this, they do that, they vote for these people every time, and you know what it's doing to our country, right? That's what your body's eyes see. Your body, space, and time see the differences. But as you wake into your essence that Sharon's working on, you work with your essence now, you can see the sameness with vision of your mind. That's what your Christ now. The Christ sees the sameness, and the ego sees the difference. Love joins, ego attacks and is fearful. So you start getting addicted to which one of these you want. And that once you believe you can actually have it, it will grow in your life and you'll be that. As you work out your 70 years or 700 years, I would like to do it with less fear and more love. Yes, please. Good. Okay? You see the Christ in him, and he's healed because you look on what makes faith forever justified in everyone. Well, you know what? We get to do more of this next week. Because now we can talk about the justification of faith. Why would you even try to have faith?
Why not?
Well, why not is because I don't want to lose me. Why not is because I got a great plan using faithlessness. I don't have to trust anybody or anything. I got it covered. I've been working hard.
How's it been working for you so far?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like this. Ding, 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 ding.
That same note.
But I can really play that one note. But you know what? It's not going anywhere. But I can play it, and I know about it. I own it. But it's really not, I'm not really sharing. It's not really working with anything around it. It's really alone. So next week we will dig in on why you would go ahead and choose this trust, choose this faith, to get beyond your note. Oh, we won't next week because I won't be here. But David will be here. Okay? He will be here and do whatever you want. I recommend you just read this whole chapter 19. Play with it. Build up some, you know, discuss it. Think about some of the things we talked about. I'll be right back, though, after that. And then we will dig into this motivation for faith. Let's have a circle. It's really good because, you know, everybody's got the bug. You've got the appetite. You've got the appetite for happiness. Everybody's got it. You want to be happy, right?
No.
Okay. More love and peace in your life? Join, union, connection has occurred. Everybody's connected with the hands. You have devoted yourself to make the circle complete. If Walt drops his hand from Wendy and breaks the circle, you will have Wendy willing, Walt not connected. I'm not sure which is sadder, that Wendy wishes to be connected or that Walt isn't. Mm-hmm. This is the opposite of union. Mm-hmm. Connected, we have strength. Connected, we share. This is the power of joining. And it also indicates what's true. It indicates what's true. Alone doesn't actually exist. You can't keep it up. You can pretend to be alone. When you go into your meditation and you relax, your essence is awoken. If you can really be still, if you can really accomplish that, even just for an instant, It's not empty, is it? It's kind of absolutely full. That's how you know when you've achieved stillness, is you can't add anything else to the stillness. When you're not still, the appetite is endless. The mind is looking and searching and seeking. You'll never fill it when you're not still. It's the way that reality really leaks, you know, kind of falls apart. So union is an indication of truth. Not in physical world, okay? This is just a reflection that we're doing here. But when you move it into your mind, the essence of you is not an individual, single, suffering note that is ever played by itself. No. It is a song. It is a melody. It is a music. You're being played beautifully, and you're contributing wonderfully. Thank you very much. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good job, Holy Spirit.
I want to see it.
Yeah, you see it.
I do.
So it was
true.
How are you?
Wonderful.
I was going to say, it's so wonderful.
Awesome.
What a nice
reflection.
She said she wanted to start. I want to be consistent.